Dear fellow preparing Christians, what's the hardest assignment that God will ever give to you as a Christian? Little kids might think the hardest thing for me to do is when my parents keep telling me, be good, be good, be good. But then you grow up and you're still trying to be good. As a teenager, as a grown-up, a parent, a grandparent, you're reading God's Word, you're hearing it, you're listening to devotions, you're taking Lord's Supper, and still there's an assignment that's harder than being good. The hardest assignment that the Lord gives to His people is stated by the psalmist this way: wait on the Lord. It's waiting. Even mature Christians have a hard time waiting on the Lord. Proverbs 20. Great verse when somebody has hurt you and the Lord is trying to calm you, and it's very hard not to want to take out your frustrations on someone who hurt you or someone you love. And the Lord says, do not say, I will pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord, and He will rescue you. C.S. Lewis liked to say, the mills of the Lord grind slowly, but they grind exceeding fine. The Apostle Paul said, wait for the Lord's vengeance, because He knows how to do it. We try it, it backfires. We're not being good when we harbor those feelings in our heart. And the Lord wants us, even at times like this, when it feels like the world is falling down around us, the bad guys are winning. You feel that over and over again. And the Lord says in Psalm 27, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Okay? Waiting is one thing. How do you wait patiently? Don't go into men's clothing. Don't go into women's clothing. You're not going to find it in electronics. It's not in the game section. You need a miracle. Miracles, yes, that's God's department. The miracles that God gives through His Word and sacrament, so that we don't just wait. We wait patiently. That, my dear friends, is a miracle of God's grace. God's gifts to you this Advent start with grace, and you can leave your wallet at home. They're free. Just bring your heart. Your heart is all the Lord really wants from you. First gift, grace. So what if that's your name? All your life, you've been working on waiting. Finally, you get married and you're about to become a mom, and you make sure everything's taken care of at home. Take good care of your body. Even plan the baptism for a couple weeks after the due date. Then you go in for an ultrasound, and they move the due date back later. But the way you feel, and everybody looks at you, says, any day now, 2 or 3 weeks early? Nope. The later due date comes. And the waiting, waiting, waiting. Have you ever heard of a lady in waiting? How do you be patient then? I know I should. I know I want to. It's your heart. It's the hormones. It's all of that. The same Lord God who put His Word on you, dear sister in Christ, in your baptism, is the God who through this Word brings this gift of grace. that comes from his heart. It comes from the outside. You can't find this in yourself. It's that quality in God's heart that makes him look at us in our pitiful condition, whatever it is, when we need him. Even to the point of, God, give me patience now. Tomorrow will be too late. See, I need it now. The God who put his name on us in our baptism is the God who sends this letter through his apostle Paul. So you get the letter just when you need it. And the Lord says through his apostle, grace and peace to you. Oh, that's pretty cool. Peace will come later. We'll talk about that. But for now, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. There's the grace. Always in Christ Jesus. And the more we focus on him, no matter what our circumstances, even through tears, there is joy in Jesus that the world cannot begin to understand. Different scenario. Let's say you are in that position you swore you would never be in. Books have been written about it, TED Talks on the internet, and you finally realize that you are one of the women trapped in an abusive relationship. You look at all the warning signs that you ignored, all the warnings from family that fell on deaf ears, and now you realize you are trapped. And how do you get out of that? But I brought this on myself. Yes, dear sister. Go ahead and cry. But make sure you cry to the Lord. Because this is what grace means. When we get ourselves into positions and situations that we know could have been avoided, and we have to confess, this is because of what I did. The Lord, who is rich in grace and mercy, comes especially at times like that and says, wait on the Lord. Be patient. Don't harm yourself. Don't put yourself in more danger. Help is on the way from him who said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Keep crying out to the Lord. And when those relatives are so angry, and you can't understand that anger because you're still hurting from love lost and a broken heart, remember the proverb. Don't say, I will pay you back for this. Wait on the Lord. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. The Lord has this way in his grace of giving us not just the thoughts in our heart and the feelings in our heart to wait patiently. He also gives us the deeds and the words. He says in the fifth verse here of our text, for in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Paul likes to point that out. You heard the word, you listened, you took it to heart, and that is where God strengthens you, and now we can just see the Holy Spirit is working in you from that. It's a miracle. Every once in a while in your life, you get to see this with someone you love where they wandered far and the Lord gets through, and you just have to say, wow, praise the Lord for the power of his grace through his holy word. There's a prayer I like to say when the sinful heart of mine has gotten all wrapped up and I just really need to get a handle on it and just deal with the situation in Christ. I always pray when words are called for, let them be the words that you call forth from a heart that you've made clean and new. It's David in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, then I will teach transgressors your ways. So create my heart clean and new. And the Lord is happy to do that for all of us, that we wait on the Lord with this patience that can only come from the miracle of God's grace. so that you will have the words and not lack anything as the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you. You can't find this in the stores. You can't find it stocked in warehouses. There is a blessing here that no one can give to you. It's first of all God's kindness and love in Christ with the grace, but then the effect of that, when it comes to your heart, is that peace of God which doesn't surpass all human understanding. That would limit it. We don't want to say human understanding. It's the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. This peace is so awesome that even the angels long to look into these things. Remember that? And it's the peace which guards our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. This peace is so powerful, it keeps us from doing wild and crazy things to ruin our life, because we're taught in the grace of God to wait on the Lord. So I can just hear it. Maybe somebody here, somebody listening on the internet when this is posted, but, oh, Pastor, that sounds really good. Good for you. I just lost my job. I feel like grace got up and walked out. So how am I supposed to have peace? Wow. How do you argue with that, huh? I would say, dear brother, have you heard the expression that the night is often darkest just before the dawn? There's a lot of truth in that. And did you maybe notice in the psalm for Advent 1, the very first line, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That means every job, every plant growing food, every fruit tree, everything belongs to the Lord, and He has promised us our daily bread. Is it possible, dear brother in Christ, that the Lord took your job away at just the right time because you have a friend somewhere who's lost his job and he needs you to go help him? There may even be need for a rescue where you have to drive for miles and miles across several states to get him out of a very dangerous situation. Is that possible? Oh, you can almost hear him laughing. Oh, really? Come on. Happened to a sister in Christ. Lost her job on the same day. A dear relative lost her job, and the Lord's work in this is so awesome to bring this together in literally a rescue with police involved to get her safely out of that situation. And what are you going to do when you've lost your job and all that expense? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. A sister went to a Christmas party in place of her sister, wearing her sister's name tag. Was very thrilled when she won. There were 250 people there, company party. She won a prize of gift card, $50, and then won a $50 plant for her mom. And then grand prize announced in her sister's name, which is on her name tag, $500. $600. Go figure. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Oh yeah, that sounds really good. Nice story. Happened. Still happens. And you know, if you really want to treat God as a stingy miser, a Scrooge, He has an answer for that. I remember it in the King James, "Be it unto thee as thou believest." All right, have it your way. But when you trust in God through Jesus Christ and you see His generosity in giving His own Son, and you really believe that He who spared not His own Son will also, along with Him, graciously give you all things, and you patiently wait on the Lord, these other earthly blessings are so cheap compared to the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that He puts on your heart and on your soul freely, graciously, kindly. Why? Because he loves you. He just loves you. But why? We heard from Isaiah, there's no one who does good, no one who seeks the Lord. We've all become like an unclean thing. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. It can't be in us. So confess it. Admit it. He knows it. But you need this. And we need it at every stage in life. Because every time I talk about moms having kids, I often think, too, of the couples that would like to have children and can't. Infertility growing in our country. There are reasons and explanations for it, but it's heartbreaking. And it's heartbreaking for Christian couples who would love to provide a good home for their children. And all around they see babies or hear about babies being aborted or babies born to drug addict parents that aren't even going to stay together, much less take care of the child. How do you reconcile that? It's just heartbreaking. I look at the next verse of our text and it slapped me upside the head when I read this in the Greek. It says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. The word for lack in the Greek original looks like hysterectomy. Dare I say it? Some of you know more about that than you could talk about. But you do not lack anything as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. This is really the answer to all the pain and the heartache in the world around us and whatever you suffer in the silence of your heart in those places where no one else can go. That's the Lord's department. That's where he comes. That's where word and sacrament work in ways that the mind cannot even understand, and yet so wonderfully, so kindly, that even there, in heartache, in loss, in what feels like the worst lack, Jesus fills that void in your heart, and you do not lack anything. Every spiritual gift that you need is right there already before you even ask. In his word. Keep meditating on it. Keep looking forward to the Lord's coming. And someday all of this will be very clear. Very clear that you do not lack anything as you eagerly wait and more eagerly await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ when he is revealed. So let's say you've been in a Bible class all week and you hear things like this, and you're even taking part in the class. You're taking notes. Everything is, it looks fine to everybody else. But you've got this nagging feeling in your heart that nobody can understand. That maybe this is just true for everybody else in that class, but not for you. It happened on my second trip to China that there was a man in this rather large class and taking part, highly respected by the other students. And it was after a day of teaching for 8 hours. I was tired. We had to hurry to the airport. And he was asking a question, which my interpreter told me what it was. And then every time I tried to answer, the class got more and more stirred up. I did not know what was going on. Every time I tried, it got worse. And finally, another Christian sister who was there stepped in and for a few minutes addressed the class. I didn't understand a word because it was all in Chinese. I wish you could have seen the look on the man's face. This terror that was there in his eyes before just melted away. This awesome peace came over him. You could just see it. And when our Christian sister finished, the whole class clapped, just overjoyed. By now, I'm fairly curious what happened. She told me afterwards, your interpreter was not giving his question. So here I am trying really hard to answer the wrong question. He was so afraid because he had fallen away. He was just afraid that God wouldn't take him back. Whatever it was, he did not wait on the Lord. And now he's terrified. So everything he had heard in class up to that time, he thought was for everybody else, but maybe not for him. Can you think of a place in Scripture where you could go for that? The classic welcome back story of the loving father of the prodigal son, the son who goes off and wastes everything in sinful, wild living, his whole inheritance, until he finally, you know, can't even get the food of the pigs to eat. So he makes up this story, a prayer. It's not a story, it's actually a confession. He's going to go back to his father and just ask to be one of the servants in his father's house. He can't even get to the house because his father's been watching the road, longing for his son to come. And as Jesus tells the story, it says his father was moved with compassion. That's the splankna word. That's the guts. He's just overwhelmed with the feelings. He runs to his son, throws his arms around him, even interrupts his desire to be his father's servant. And let's throw a party, because this son of mine who was dead is alive, who was lost and is found. It's not just that God will let you come back quietly, secretly in the back door. He's not even going to wait for you to get there. But like the Father, the loving Father that Jesus is telling us our Heavenly Father is like, he wants to wrap those loving arms around you and hold you close to his heart, because now he's got what he always wanted from you. Now he's got your heart. That's peace. That's a sacred, settled peace. And when you are missing that, do not take no for an answer from God on that. Be like the little kid that won't take no from mom or dad. And you just keep going to God, and then let him answer through his word and sacrament with that peace. And sometimes it's just helpful to say, God, this was your idea. I didn't choose you, you chose me. That's what you said. And since it's God's choice, it's not dependent on my feelings or my reaction or anything to it. Grace does not depend on us. It's just grace. And likewise, the peace that comes is not come from mental or spiritual exercises or emotion. It's all what God did. And so Paul can close these verses of our text. He says, he will keep you. He started it. He's going to finish it. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Patience, impatience forgiven, patience put in its place. All sins of the heart and your feelings too, washed clean in the blood of Christ, blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. That word for fellowship is communion. Koinonia. When we receive the Lord's holy sacrament, it is the body and blood of God's own Son. And that is meant to work deep inside our souls, that sacred, settled peace. What a blessing to be able to come to God on this day and know that before he got here, we got here, he came to us. We weren't alive the first Christmas. There was no praying for it. I didn't even get myself to baptism. I was carried. That's what I love about infant baptism. Think about that. It was your idea, God. You brought me. You started it. God, in grace and mercy, grant your peace as you finish it. And then, it's a beautiful thing. Just wait on the Lord. Amen.